far are you going?
About 30 years.
In this week's episode,
it's our pre-election night 2020 podcast of 2020. Oh!
Yeah, so now you're coming in. Now everything seems to be working.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Well, at least it's working now. Are you recording?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how buzzed I'm going to be doing this episode. Because this is...
Has it begun? The drinking?
Yeah, first sip just went down. Okay. I haven't done one of these in a while because we're talking about Alex Jones being on the Joe Rogan podcast. So I'm going to need a little help to get me through it a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Alex, he was talking to me some as well. So you'll be in good company.
Yeah. I figured this can be our election day podcast.
Okay. Well, this is being recorded for the record on October 30th, so we don't know the results of the election yet.
But as the election is going on this day, this is an episode that was recorded a couple of days ago to talk about. Well, I don't know. We're obviously going to give our thoughts on the election process. Uh-huh. What is it, like 3 or 4 days away before the actual day?
Yeah. Well, there's already like election voting by mail and all that stuff here, and I get stuff in the mail every day about this, just constantly, sometimes multiple things per day.
Oh,
just how to vote by mail and all this, and I did vote by mail, and it doesn't seem to have caused any issues. I put it in the outbox, but then today I got one about my mother's ballot saying, "We haven't received your ballot yet. It should be instantly notified when you put it in a ballot drop box," which she did that like a week or two ago, and it's I guess they didn't count it. And I've been seeing these stories about the drop boxes that have been set on fire in Los Angeles and somewhere else, maybe Boston. So
you know,
I don't know how all that's going to turn out.
You know, it's interesting.
So we might not know for a long time.
So it's interesting, like, the only political things I've been getting in the mail, to me at least, and I don't know why, I'm getting it from the, anyways, the Democratic Party, I'm a registered Republican, have been for years. The Democratic Party's been mailing me stuff, telling me about, like, what not just Lindsey Graham stands for, but also Bill Bledsoe, the Constitution Party person that's in the state, and I'm like, why the heck would I care about Bill Bledsoe? And
I've seen that he's polling well. He's got like 5% or something, which is high for the Constitution and party.
Well, here's the thing. So I was trying to look up candidates, like in my area, and the only website, the local newspaper, is so darn biased. This is conservative biasm, sadly. Pick the vote website.com, who cares? Like, I can't find an actual list of what's going to be on my ballot the day I go in there, November 3rd. And my thing is, so the only way I had to get all this information accurately was to go on the Democratic website. And there it is. It should, like, the state of South Carolina's Democratic Party or whatever, the website. But they have every single candidate for my area, what's going to be on that ballot. And I'm going to tell you something else. So, one of the school districts, one of the like district areas for the school district in this area, there's nobody running. It's a write-in vote. So I told everyone in my family to vote for me, put my name in that position, and we'll see what happens. I'm gonna see if I can get in as a like a school trustee for District 5, or Ward 5 in District 50 or some crap. I'm just gonna see if I'll get it. I don't know. The only thing they had on the Democratic site was it was a write-in ballot. Like, it's like, who cares?
Weird.
Yeah, so like, maybe
sometimes they have a bunch of like signs up for write-ins here, and I'll be like, is anybody who's written in actually going to get elected to something? Because I don't think that usually happens, but sometimes it does, I guess.
We'll find out. I mean, like, people are probably voting for themselves, and then I'm the only one with like more than one vote.
Yeah.
So I mean, we'll see.
The only example I can think of where that actually happened was that there was the senator in Alaska. She lost the Republican primary, but she was still the senator, so everyone knew who she was. And she ended up winning the general election anyway, just as a write-in.
Mm-hmm.
But that usually doesn't happen. I'm sure Kanye thinks it's going to happen to him, though.
I wonder how many write-in ballots people are going to have for Kanye in like different areas. It's probably going to be more than one. They're like, I want to vote for Kanye. Well, this is my only shot to do as a write-in. For like Circuit Court, Section 5 of Detroit or some crap. Or like some little sketchy town in the middle of Wyoming. Which apparently he likes it out there, so that he would be a good fit for Wyoming.
Yeah, I saw it posted in the chat today of this ballot that this woman running for mayor of Portland posted, where it had all these different communists written down, and it had Joseph Stalin written three times.
Oh my god!
And all these other Mao and Pol Pot and all this, and she's like the leading the polls to be mayor of Portland. So I'm thinking people will do this for Kanye. They'll just write his name in on every section of the ballot. His super fans will do this. The ones who listen to the whole 3-hour Kanye Joe Rogan episode.
All right. Everyone in Portland can just stay there. Like, my running joke for, like, super liberal cities and states, because every state has one, is like, oh, like, I consider Charleston, South Carolina, as the Portland of South Carolina. And like, Asheville...
Is that the biggest city in South Carolina?
No... It's a popular city, that's for sure. It's the most liberal.
Is it like college students there or something?
Yeah, there's a bunch of college students. There's a naval base. You got the Yorktown Museum. Okay. There's the deck that I proposed to my ex at over 4 years ago, actually. Jeez. I haven't been back to Charleston since. Do what?
Isn't this the ship where they did the anime con one year or something?
Yes, that's it. Kantai Con. Okay. Yeah, I haven't been back to Charleston in like 4 years since I proposed. I have no reason to go back. Well, I mean, like, I kind of joke that, like, oh, Asheville is like, you know, the Portland of North Carolina, but it's more like the Austin of North Carolina, but probably watered down. Right. Like, I was in Asheville camping last year. My family and I go every year to Swannanoa, and which is right outside Asheville. And it's basically just like tree-hugging hippie chicks. And like people that like think that they're going to a rock concert every part of the day. They have their hair dyed. They wear like ripped up jean jackets and pants and stuff. It's just a different atmosphere, and it's kind of nice to look at instead of like people with jacked up trucks. Because North Carolina has like, you know, car, or they got safety feature laws for vehicles, and most cars would fail that here in South Carolina in a heartbeat. Safety inspections, yeah, they do that up there, so nobody's gonna ride to do their stupid squatter truck. it's not gonna pass in North Carolina, that's for sure.
Do you think that Trump is gonna win North Carolina?
Man, I don't know. I was hoping you make the prediction on that.
Well, I was just wondering, since you knew the area better than I do, but,
I mean, Asheville's definitely a Democratic city. It's liberal run.
Is it like the only one, or is it there like other Democratic areas?
Well, Durham and Raleigh are becoming, Wake County's a very Democratic area, because that's where I used to live. Because more people are, it's such a technology hub between Durham and Wake County that, you know, you get people from the north, and they, you know, Northerners come into your southern states, it gets liberal. It gets blue.
So, that's not surprising.
Yeah,
whenever there's like a tech industry in a city or something, you get the people who come from New York City and San Francisco, and then it becomes like those places. It becomes expensive. and they start voting for left-wing politicians.
So, interesting enough, the Democratic Party's pouring a lot of money into ads for Jamie Harrison in South Carolina.
And they think he's going to win.
That's what scares me. Here's the thing, like, Lindsey needs to stay in, and I'm going to tell you why. Because, so, my brother and I were outside doing work at our job and, you know, painting safety poles around fire hydrants or whatever the other day. And my brother's been listening to the Ted Cruz podcast a lot, or Verdict.
Okay.
And so I think like a couple of weeks ago, Washington Post put out a report, or at least leaked, you know, they didn't leak it. I mean, like, they leaked it, but it was official. Regarding Hunter Biden's, like, leaked laptop stuff that he left at a tech place and it had a bunch of, like, child porn on it or whatever the heck.
Oh, the New York Post.
Yeah, the New York Post one. And so whenever Ted Cruz tried to go on Twitter to post it, it instantly kept getting taken down. So his story. Yeah. So his story is he went over, there's something was going on. I think it was during the Amy Barrett hearings. And he goes over to Lindsey Graham and he's just like, let's throw a subpoena at these big tech companies. Let's just do an announcement during all of this. And Lindsey's like, yeah, all right. So here's the thing with Lindsey Graham. He's a judiciary committee leader or majority, head of that as a senator. And a judiciary committee is going to be more pound in the ass on the questions of these big tech companies when they bring him in there and be like, you guys – It's up to a point, and even on the Joe Rogan episode, they talked about this regarding how tech companies, like, yeah, they're independent and they can control speech, but they become part of, like, more of a utility. They're larger than what they want to say they are, and it's true because a lot of people use them. And if a lot of people use things as more of a utility, and if it's become a utility, that's when the government can try to come in there. And I think that's a good thing. Because now they're going to put in there, like, okay, you guys are very biased in your speech. And free speech needs to be allowed on your platform. You guys are too big that you can't just, you know, do whatever you want and make these, like, you know, incubation bubbles of, like, the same opinions or whatever. So, and the thing is, I don't know when this judiciary hearing is going to happen, but it's going to actually have to be after the election. So if Lindsey's still in there, he's going to still head up the judiciary committee and he's going to hound the ass at whoever's in there. About, like, why are you guys so darn sketchy? So it's a necessity that he stays in office right now.
They actually did this yesterday, and I'm about to post here the results of it. They were hounding the Twitter CEO about his bias and all this stuff, and how they had locked the account of the New York Post, and were banning people from posting the article about Hunter Biden. And now today, just a couple hours ago, they've got unsuspended on Twitter. So now New York Post is back on there, and they can report again because they got so much pressure from the politicians to do this.
Okay.
So it is good news that this is
so what's this already happened.
The judiciary. Yeah. This is already happening.
Right I thought now. This was going to be like a week long process. I haven't really kept up with it.
No, they had them all in there yesterday. Twitter, Facebook, Google, all of them. And they were like, what's the deal? Why are you not allowing us to talk about them? This is a thing that's getting millions of clicks. Everybody's talking about it. It's on the news every night. And you can't even post the link to the article that's the source of all this controversy. And eventually they were like, okay, well, like, people are too interested in this. We can't keep it down anymore. So we're just going to let New York Post back on here. And it was getting reported on all these other sites too. There have been all these leaks on Gateway Pundit about all this stuff that Hunter Biden's up to with his family members and his money making schemes. And
how the kids got
a Pornhub account where he posts videos of him having sex with his sister in law and her daughter and all this crazy stuff that's going on.
Holy crap!
Yeah.
I mean, did he finish the job at least?
I don't want to find out.
Well, I mean, like, the freaking daughter, Joe Biden's daughter, is like a cocaine addict. I mean, Bo died from a drug overdose. And then, like, you know, Biden gets all, like, ticked off at the debates regarding, like, don't you talk about my son, he was a war hero and all this stuff. And then, you know, and then Trump is just like, I'm not talking about that son, idiot.
Right.
Wake up. I've been saying Hunter like 20 times in this debate.
Yeah.
Well, that first debate was everything I expected except for a fist fight to break out.
You haven't seen the second one yet?
No, I never saw the last. I was in the mountains the last time, and
yeah,
I never saw the town hall
on our commentary.
Well, no, like you guys were giving me up. I didn't have a TV or anyway. I wasn't going to use data in the mountains, and it was very limited.
Right.
But like you guys, like just give me the play by play of what's going on, and you know, some of the stuff that was said was like, you know, how Biden's going to like give you know, amnesty to 11 million immigrants, and you guys are like, well, he just lost Texas and Arizona.
Right, yeah, he did say that we're going to have a pathway to citizenship in the first 100 days, and we're going to freeze deportations, and we're going to, you know, all this stuff he was saying. We're going to transition out of fossil fuels within my first term, and so it's like, yeah, he's not going to win Pennsylvania when fracking is a big industry there. He's like, I'm not going to ban fracking, but we're going to be carbon neutral by 2025. How does that work? Because there's going to be carbon coming out of the fracking and all the oil and all the other...
Wait. By 2025, he expects to get a second term by then, but he haven't even gotten the first term yet, dude.
Yeah. Well, he thinks he's going to phase all that out in 4 years, which is just not going to happen. I mean,
no way.
How are you going to do that and transition that many people to new jobs?
Dude, he didn't do anything as a vice president for 8 freaking years. What makes you think if he's big in charge that he's going to do anything within the first four?
Obama said this kind of stuff too in 2007, 2008 when he was president. Well, he was like, we're going to move to a post-oil economy, and then like there was massive expansion of fracking and natural gas and all this stuff under
Obama.
Well,
what was it? Like they did those bailouts for like energy companies, and they took the money and ran. I remember they did that big one in California like early in his first term, and it was a big thing, and then all of a sudden nothing happened. It was quiet after the first month. That might have been it. They did a bailout package for that company, and they basically took the money and ran. And that's like, well, there goes all my tax money right there to bail out an energy company that I don't even want to exist.
Well, I think they went bankrupt even though they got bailed out because their product didn't work or something.
Yeah, and our government, like, we should have never bailed out GM or Ford or whoever it was, the auto company. That's like, so what? I mean...
Yeah. Well, I guess we should get into the Hunter Biden thing a little bit more because that was brought up in the Alex Jones stuff with Joe Rogan.
Yeah, maybe I should release this podcast the day before, so then people that like me that are going on the day of the election may happen to listen to this episode like, oh my gosh, these guys' insights are so great. I better change my vote. It's not going to happen. Everyone's going to – I mean, I made my decision to who to vote for months ago.
4 years ago?
Yeah, exactly. 4 years ago. I was like, man, we better keep Trump in here. As long as we can.
Yeah, so basically they were, at first they were like, oh, this is Russian disinformation, and Twitter was like, this is hacked material and all this stuff. But now we saw a couple nights ago the guy that he was emailing with, it went on a Tucker Carlson program, this guy called Tony Bobulinski, which is a great name. And he...
not part of the mob at all.
Right. He was going on about how he met Hunter Biden and he met Joe Biden. And they asked to be seated in like an area of the restaurant where people couldn't see them very well, like behind a pillar or something, so that people didn't know that Joe was there. And they were like, you know, say Joe Biden went up to him and he went on and on about all his personal tragedies that Joe Biden always likes to talk about, like how his family got in a car crash right after he got elected to the Senate and all this stuff, trying to warm him up to doing business with his crackhead son. So, like, we know that Hunter Biden is using Joe Biden as a way to make money now, and that's not deniable at this point, because we've seen the emails between these two guys, and this guy's proven, like, yeah, this was me, this all happened, and I looked up this conference that he mentioned, and there's, like, a record that Joe Biden was at this conference where they had met at the restaurant outside of it, and we've seen all these pictures and audio leaks and videos from this hard drive. I mean, it's ridiculous. They all just decided to censor it. And now we've seen so much evidence that it's real, and they're finally having to back off now and let New York Post back on Twitter. But the fact that they just decided, like, we know better than this news outlet, and we're just going to block this, is just ridiculous. They're just trying to prevent this from being like the Clinton email scandal 4 years ago and how much damage that did to her. They're just trying to hide it and because they don't want people to know, make an informed choice. And even Rogan was saying, like, even if there's some problem with free speech or whatever, the answer is just people need to be able to analyze it and say what's wrong with it if there's a problem with it. The problem is you don't just suppress it and just say, we can't talk about this. You have to be able to have a conversation about it. Oh, and he was saying this about Alex Jones, too, because, you know, he's been so suppressed online. He got banned on YouTube, and this other guy who was on the panel with him, this Tim Dillon guy, he kept saying, I used to listen to you every night, and now I can't. And Alex was like, we go to my website. And the other guy's like, yeah, I know, but it's too difficult. I'd rather just go on YouTube.
It's funny, like, Tim Dillon or whatever. I've never heard this guy, but he was just like... He's like, yeah, I was like 13, and basically, like, Alex Jones was his lullaby. Like, you know, like, he's like, I listened to you every night when I was, like, you know, 13 before Bush was elected, and every night I, you know, like, I just fell asleep to the sounds of,
right.
Rah, rah, gay frogs, rah, 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 secret intelligence agencies, rah, rah. I can imagine, like, letting it, like, you play, like, you know, like, okay, read me a bedtime story, and your dad, the dad just sits his phone down next to the kid's bed and puts on Alex Jones.
Yeah.
This will give you good dreams about government nuclear facilities and alien hybrids and, you know, join the, center intellectual, intellectual, like, alien committees or something in space, and why they crashed in on this planet to try to... We're lower-end apes and some bullcrap. I mean... God.
Yeah, that was something. I mean, he went into some of that stuff a little bit with the DMT elves, but he didn't go as deep in that
as the last time. Like, Alex and Rogan were chill. Like, Rogan was just like, I'm sober, you know, like, I'm not gonna, like, get too worried. Like, Rogan just kept questioning Alex. Like, he was, like, serious. Like, why do you think this way? And Alex still was doing Alex where he gets, like, you know, inebriated and talks about five different things. And Joe has to tell him to just shut up. So we're on to this topic. We'll get to that in, like, 5 minutes.
I've seen the documents, and they're planning for a pandemic that's going to lure in martial law. It's like, wait, we kind of already have this. And he's like, this happened 10 years ago. I have the documents, and it's called Operation Paperclip, or, you know, whatever. And that Jamie guy has to pull it up on the page and then do a Control F and try to find what Alex is.
Yeah, that was like most of his job was just like, okay, I got the article or this book, or this PDF online. I'm doing a Control F. And then they find the quote. I mean, like, the thing was, like, Alex was able to back up most of the stuff he said. Now, in terms of the context, I'm not too sure.
Kenya, the people are getting fed up with the lockdowns, and then they start revolting. And it's like, it did describe stuff that's happening, because I was seeing stories about, like, how draconian these lockdowns have been in Africa, where they've had these people on the ground, and... you know, they're just using this as an excuse to put in, like, a dictatorship, and the people are trying to overthrow the governments in, like, Nigeria and stuff. So, I mean, this kind of stuff, I mean, they were planning for this kind of stuff years ago. You know, these plans didn't come out of nowhere, right? So, I mean, sometimes Alex Jones is right. He's aware of these discrepancy plans that these guys have in case something really goes bad with the, you know, civil conflict or a pandemic or whatever. You know, the globalists really do have plans, and we've seen them implemented over this year, the plan to shut down the economy and all this kind of stuff. Nobody would have imagined this could have been done, but they had it all planned out.
He's been talking about the globalist conspiracy for many, many years, and now it's just like their plans, part of the plans are working regarding, like, demanding a global shutdown and getting this, you know, these puppets of political people in political power to try to do their bidding or whatever. And, you know, like, the thing is, it's like, okay, we don't have a solid, yes, this is true, like, proof of purchase kind of thing, but, like, you sort of connect the dots, and, like, you'd have to be, and you're just gonna have to be plain ignorant to just not even want to deal with it or not even see it.
Yeah. And, like, I don't know, you know, the whole issue of where does the pandemic come from to begin with? Was it a lab, or was it the wet market? I mean, I've seen stuff both ways, and there's no way for me to know for sure whether the Chinese engineered this or whether this was, like, an experiment gone bad on a bat where they didn't have the right safety procedures. And the bat, supposedly one of these stories was in Yahoo News. They said the bat peed on someone or something, and they like got in their mouth or something disgusting. Well, and then they got like a virus that way.
Well, but do you think it's more believable than Randy Marsh in South Park, like, you know, not only effed a bat in a hotel room or the back alley, but also that ugly ass looking animal, whatever the heck it was. That South Park special was really good, by the way.
I didn't see it, but I saw all the commentary in the chat on it.
Oh man, it's good.
I need to see it. Yeah,
that was like a month ago.
They just did one special in lieu of a full season this year. Is that what the deal is?
That's the way I understood it. Yeah, I was like, oh cool, I can't wait till next week. And then TY was just like, yeah, there's no season. That's it. And I'm like, oh.
I don't know how they were even able to make stuff with the whole lockdown thing, but. There was just a season of Archer that just finished, and the season of Spider-Man just finished. I was watching those today. So I guess probably Archer was like animated before the pandemic hit or something, and then they just delayed airing it for a few months for some reason.
All right. Oh, speaking,
maybe they can just do it, like send videos from one another of like what progress they're making on animating. I don't know how all this works. But
so speaking of stuff that came out, especially today, Mandalorian Season 2 is on Disney Plus. And I'm probably going to go, I mean, I might just go on Snap It and get my episode, but I mean, I could just pay an extra $7 on Hulu and get the Disney Plus, like little subscription they do and, just watch it through there. But it's like, I'd rather just save my money and, just get it through Snap It and I can just do that tomorrow.
Yeah. I did a free trial of Disney Plus for a while and I watched Clone Wars on there and X-Men Evolution, but I don't think I really want it long term or anything.
Yeah, my thing is like if I'm doing the Hulu thing, it's like I'd rather just, you know, pay to use it to. I mean, I guess it's like I could just get it until Mandalorian finishes up, and then I can just watch it all, binge it all together. But then it's like I might as well just keep waiting a week and just getting it online. So.
Right. That's what we did with season one. So yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw a commercial for that during Archer. It looks like Baby Yoda's in it again, and somebody's out to get him or something, and the Mandalorian has to protect them. So it's the kind of stuff you expect it to be, but it'll probably be good.
Yeah.
I still cannot believe that they did not go ahead and make Mandalorian merch for the Baby Yoda for like 6 months after it aired.
And now, like now the market's saturated with Baby Yoda. I guess it's everywhere now. Yeah, now I guess it's selling. I don't know.
Oh yeah, that's popular along with like Groot. It's like women like this because it's like a substitute for having a baby.
Just themselves. It's like do either you look for a good guy, and you make a baby with him, or you just knock up Alabama Black Snake at the Applebee's, and you get a baby from him. Either way, you get a baby. Now you want one with the father being there because the father figure is a good thing for a family. I'm just saying.
So let's get back to the Alex Jones thing. I'm trying to think what were like the highlights of this. There was
I got something I want to get into that Alex said that I was just like, whoa, now I got stuff to back this up to whatever drunked out crate. I didn't know what you wanted to say because I was going to get to my bit if you had something else you wanted to add.
No, you just go for it.
All right. I'm going to go for it. So he made a quote, a comment, and basically it went like, God doesn't know where he came from and man doesn't know where he came from. And that's when I was just like, hold my beer. I'm about to like basically like disprove that completely. Okay. So I may not be the best, but people who have been listening to this podcast for a good while know that I am of Christian belief and I do, you know, Jesus is the savior and all that stuff. So yes, I'm well versed. I've been getting well versed in the Bible and listening to good teachers for quite a while now. So I'm not sure what God Alex Jones is talking about, but if we're talking about, let's say, the God of creation, the God, I can show you in Scripture, which is Scripture is all inspiration of Scripture is by Him, and that's also quoted in the Bible. I can pull up that verse real quick. Scripture is inspired by God. Here we go. So just kind of say this Yeah, so we got like 2 Timothy 3:16-17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof and correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. So, all scripture is by God, the God. So we'll take a look at Genesis chapter 1, basically when man comes on the scene. God makes land. This is the fourth day. So we're, alright, so we got into, let's say Genesis 1, chapter, verse 26, it's, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to the one's likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on this earth. This is New King James, by the way. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. So, man came from God. That says it right there in scripture. If you're talking about where do we come from, and you do believe in a God, well, then there's your answer right there. And of course I get a phone call, and I'm not going to answer it right now. So anyways, we got that. So Alex Jones's drunked out theory of like, oh, man doesn't know where he came from. Well, if you're saying, you put man and God in the same statement, and you're, all right, I didn't lose you. Okay, good. You're still here on the.
No, I'm here.
Okay, all right. You're getting a Bible study. All right, cool. So, there's verse right there. Inspiration by God. All verses of the chapter out of 2 Timothy. And so there's your reason why where man came from. Man is an image of God, like sort of a copy of God. We don't have all of God's total attributes. And the only thing man can really create is reproducing himself with woman. It came from man by God as a helpmate. And that is all in scripture in the book of Genesis. So we got that down. So Alex Jones is completely wrong about like where did man come from. Now, in terms of God, I've thought about this, and not a lot of Christians are going to talk about this. And I don't even think they really know or want to think about it because not many of them are that deep. But like, this was like something I thought about when I was 16. I remember sort of bringing it up like around my youth pastor, and he was just like, oh, you shouldn't think like that, which is stupid. And there's nothing wrong with me thinking this way where, you know, God is saying he's the Alpha and Omega, but then my thing is, if God is a creator, then something had to create God. If there's, the rule is that God created, you know, the heavens and the earth, he's creator, he's planner, things are created for a reason, living, non-living, you know, trees, the ground, and all this stuff. But it's a fact like, you know, God had to come into existence if the art and the act of creation was already existent. Because in order to create, you would have to know how to create or be created from something else. And that's an answer that like, where did God come from? And, you know, is there, like my thing was like, you know, maybe there's like other gods out there. And this is the one that we're, you know, the one that created our earth or, you know, our world. Is the one we, you know, are submitted to because he is the creator. Maybe he did, there is a whole maybe being of other intergalactic gods or something like that. And maybe like this god is in charge of this universe, but then you have other universes, which kind of goes into the whole thing about like, and I'm not really that drunk right now, so I'm sorry if I sound whacked out, but maybe there's other like universes and dimensions or whatever where there's other gods there and they all kind of work together or they all come from something. The fact that there's a law of creation and everything is made for a purpose, which means God was created for a purpose to make our world and to make man into the image of him. And that's the way I look at it. But that's just the theory that I have. And I have no proof. This is just my own theory. I'm not harming anything. I'm not being unbiblical thinking this. But like, you know, the Bible talks about like God's attributes, you know, God will not sin and God is logical. A lot of things, but it doesn't really say where he comes from. He's just beginning and the end. Like he's just there. But my thing is there's the law of creation, so he had to come from somewhere. And maybe that's just something that we can't know about him, because there's even a verse in the Bible about like the things that are unknown to us that God doesn't want us to know about, and that's perfectly fine. So like we're kind of a limited idea of what we're allowed to know about our creator, and I think that's okay. So that's sort of like playing devil's advocate to at what Alex Jones says, like, we're, you know, God doesn't know where he was created. And I think that's on the theory of like what I have is like, well, he had to come from somewhere. And he was made for a reason in order to make us for his reason. So that's just kind of like my theory. That was the thing that I took out of that whole thing of like all the stupid stuff Alex Jones says, that I was like, that's something I can actually add some depth to it. And that's all I got to say. So
yeah. So I guess one thing to say about this is that there is the theory of the Big Bang, which was actually created by a Catholic theologian before scientists started advocating it.
Right.
Which was that there's essentially at the very beginning of the universe, there was a singularity. There was just one thing, and that thing was a sort of primal God that is the origin of everything. And then everything kind of exploded out of there, and then God began to create the universe, which is ever expanding into more and more solar systems and galaxies.
Yeah.
And we were created as part of this after a few billion years, and this was the way of incorporating the concept of creator with what we know about the laws of the universe that have been discovered through astronomy and physics and all these other disciplines that have come since. So that's I guess that's one way of getting out of it without having to say there were other gods before this god. It could just be that this god is the source of everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I have my little theory of just like a what if thing, and I can't prove it, and you know, I'll find the answer when I go to heaven someday. So I'm sure there's a lot of things that, you know, people get to heaven, and it's just like, man, why were we so obsessed with that over on Earth? It means nothing in the end, because there's no doctrine there to back it up on, you know, through God's word or whatever. It's just, it's one of those things. But, I mean, I think there was a Christian band at one point that, like, believed that they had, like, an idea about the Big Bang. And their thing was, like, you know, like, well, God created the Big Bang. Like, you know, we had to come out of something. And, you know, that's just our way of interpreting it, and there was nothing really sinful about it, but because they came out openly and said that, the evangelical community would basically chastise them, like, how dare you back up Big Bang Theory, that's secular science theology or whatever, this crap. And so they just, like, basically kind of, like, ostracized them from, like, the Christian music community, which is like, so what? There's nothing there anyways. And I'm not very impressed with a lot of Christian music, and I haven't been for years. Anyways, that's a whole other thing. But it's the fact that these guys were like, you know, like, well, that's just how we think, you know, that's just our interpretation of creation there. Like, you know, so what if we're wrong? It's not wrong to think that way. That's just to our own logical understanding to how we think things happened. But we still are still believers, you know, Jesus is Lord and, you know, stuff like that. But it's the fact that, like, because you don't think the same way as the other evangelical companies and, like, you know, the culture, the American culture, like, if you don't think exactly the way they do, you're not going to get welcomed or even invited or even still be making music for them to be on the radio station or whatever, which I think is very, very sad. So.
Yeah, and they probably were persuading people here because really the only way you can address science is if you say, well, this is the science of God's plan. This is how it happened physically. You can't just say, well, this is all just made up. And I mean, like, there's a lot of stuff that's scientifically provable that a lot of evangelicals get caught in this trap of just denying it, even if there's proof of it, like the people who get really caught up in the time issue, where they are real insistent that the world is 6,000 years old and they know the exact date when everything's going to end, like Harold Camping. Like, these people are just denying reality because there is carbon dating. We can't tell how long these trees have been there from the amount of rings in them or how fossils and stuff. And so, yeah.
I had a Christian scientist speak at a church I went to when I lived in Apex, North Carolina, years ago when I was in high school, like in the early 2000s. I don't know I can't remember if it was the same guy that was up there who debated Bill Nye. I don't know if it was him or not. I kind of want to think it was, because I've never sat down and watched a debate, because that debate is obviously, like, if you're like non-Christian, you're going to believe Bill Nye, and if you are Christian, you're going to believe the other guy. But I think there's probably like a lot of like things that I'm going to agree with either one with. But my thing is, like, I think it's science is not inherently all evil. I think science, instead of there to try to disprove there's a God, it's more proof that there is a God. It's the way I understand it. Because, yeah, you got carbon dating, but the way this scientist stated it was that, like, it's not really a solid system because it's the amount of carbon that doesn't stay formed over a period of time, and they measure it by whatever counter, and because of the fact that, like, they're measuring at a certain amount, but, like, over time, carbon releases. So something that's, you know, 12,000 years old, they could say it's 120 million years old based on what they're able to collect at that time. Because of, like, they're used in their dating, the carbon dating thing. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm definitely a believer that we're not millions of years old that people say that we are, that we've been taught, you know, in textbooks. But, I mean, I'm not going to sit there and deny that there weren't dinosaurs, because we find a lot of, you know, there was beasts in the earth or in the planet before the Great Flood. So, you know, there you have it.
Well, I mean, the whole issue of carbon, it's something that a lot of people like to kind of, like, I mean, people make over-the-top explanations about carbon. Like, Alex Jones was talking about how, like, carbon is the source of all life, and, like, he was going into, like, more carbon is better because there was more life when there was this sort of early carbon period when the dinosaurs were there.
Yeah.
And then Rogan was like, well, but we're not adapted for that amount of carbon because we came along after that.
Yeah, and Alex Rogan, I mean, Joe Rogan makes a very good point there where it's just like, you know, Alex, yeah, we had all this carbon, and yeah, you said it was a bunch of life, but we didn't exist at that time, and I don't even know if we could have survived if there was that much carbon in the air. So, I mean, I think Rogan made a very good point there, but, you know, Alex is going to believe whatever.
But, I mean, the thing is, it's a question of, like, over how much time, I guess, is the problem with the whole carbon dioxide issue. Like, how much time is it going to be before carbon emissions cause global warming to make it where people can't exist on the planet anymore? And my impression is it would probably be a number of centuries, and over that time, the solar and wind will get more efficient, whether there's tax subsidies for them or not. And so it's not something we have to be extremely concerned about, because we've been hearing apocalyptic predictions about how if we don't do something in 10 years, we're all going to die. I've been hearing this for my whole life.
Yeah.
I was reading a comic book from 1989 the other day where this comic book writer, Ann Nocenti, who is extremely left-wing, she was writing a Colossus, the metal guy from the X-Men comic. And she had these hillbillies having a picnic, and all of their dialogue was like, one of them was an extreme leftist and the other was an extreme rightist. And so it's like, this is supposed to be like a superhero comic, but everything she does, she inserts political diatribes into. So there was one guy was going on about how important oil is for the economy. And then the other guy was saying, well, we've got a hole in the ozone layer, because that was what they're talking about back then, instead of global warming.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's going to kill everybody in 10 years. And then Colossus comes along, and the redneck right-winger is yelling at him. He's like, you're a Russian. Go back to where you came from. And then the other guy's like, well, how is global warming affecting your farming? And he's talking about how, oh, well, we have a longer crop season, and so that's helpful for our economy. And so now we're not starving, but in the long run, it's going to be a disaster. And so, like, they always rely upon this, in the long run it's going to be a disaster, but the thing is, in the short run it is true that it does benefit agriculture to have more warmth. You know, it has a longer growing season, you're going to get more of the rain cycle being accelerated, so it's going to get more rain, and that'll help crops grow. And so I don't think it's wholly a negative thing, and you shouldn't just say, well, humans are doing it and it's changing the environment, therefore it's bad. I mean, it could be good in some ways, and maybe in the long run it'll have some problems. But, I mean, the environment has always changed throughout history, and humans have been able to adapt to things like the Ice Age, the Little Ice Age, and all these other things. And there was even a concern in the 70s that there was going to be a massive global cooling. And Alex Jones brought this up during the thing where he was saying, well, look at these predictions from the Club of Rome about how there's going to be this big global cooling. and that's going to kill everybody in 10 years. And this was what they were going with in the 70s. And they were saying, well, we're going to run out of all the oil. We're going to have peak oil. This was something Jimmy Carter was always talking about in the 70s. And there was just so much stuff that they predicted. They were saying, we're going to run out of all these minerals that are used and, you know, for manufacturing. And none of this happened because they just kept finding new resources underground, and they kept finding new substitutes. And so I don't believe this apocalyptic thing about carbon is going to kill us all. But I also don't think there can just be an unlimited amount of carbon and humans are just going to be adapting to it immediately or whatever. So
yeah, I mean there's only so much we can handle. Like, it's better that we take in oxygen than carbon. And then you got Alex Jones is like, you know, I'm all for electric cars because then all the power, the clean coal, you know, companies are going to produce more coal in the air for more carbon. Yeah, go get your electric cars and whatever, you know, like.
Well, yeah, and that is true. The thing about the electric car is that it is, you know, maybe it's a good thing in the long run, but the electricity is coming from a grid. And to an extent, the grid is powered by nuclear, and to an extent, it's powered by coal. Yeah. And it's not very much powered by renewables. So it's like kind of a fake thing that people just feel like it makes them better for the environment. But it's no different than if you're running electricity at your house and no one thinks that's good for the environment. So why is it good for the environment if you're using electricity on your car instead? It's kind of fake. And there was this
counterintuitive.
There was this documentary on YouTube that was actually produced by Michael Moore, but I think it was somebody else that was doing most of it, called Planet of the Humans, and it was exposing the green energy thing as in a lot of ways a scam. Basically, people get tax credits, and then they do things like they cut down forests, and they use this wood, and they claim it's biomass, and then that's considered a renewable. And so they're actually causing deforestation. The forests are supposed to be able to absorb the carbon, and now the forests are gone because of these tax credits. And they showed this happening in Vermont and in the desert and Arizona and all these different places. And then they were talking about how, well, even with the solar and wind and stuff, the issue is they're powering it on and off over and over to shift back and forth between this and the normal sources of energy that have been used in the past. This powering on and off thing takes up so much energy that it would use less if they just stuck with what they had been using before they came up with this other stuff. Yeah. So there's a lot of scams involved here where there's things that are actually not economically efficient, that are not good for the environment, that are being created by politicians to get rich and to enrich their buddies. And so I think that there's, you know, there's a lot of corruption involved in this stuff, and we should just pretend like if we just give these people more money, there's going to be no environmental problems anymore or something. It doesn't work that way. And Alex was going into, you know, he was really against nuclear for some reason. I forget what it was. Maybe it takes a long time for the half-life to dissolve or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But he's really for coal. And I was wondering, like, what is this about? He was claiming like there's no polluting effects of coal and it's really clean, and these facilities where you do it, you wouldn't see any stains on the things that are turning the coal into power. And I don't know, maybe there are a bunch of advances that have been made in coal. I mean, you often hear about this from governors in coal states, but I don't know if that's really true or not, or if Alex is being funded by the coal industry or something. Who knows?
Well, I mean, like, he got the platform from YouTube, so he's got to recoup his money somehow.
Yeah. What were some of the other key moments here? He was talking about, like, he knows his past and his ancestors, and, like, he has the genetic memory. He talked about this in some of the earlier ones, too.
I must have blanked out over this part, because I don't remember anything about, like, he didn't go cuckoo crazy like he did last. I mean, that is bad.
He didn't go as in-depth, but he's still talking about epigenetics, I think was his term. And he was like, I've got a genetic memory, all this stuff. But last time he went into all this detail about remembering being a farmer thousands of years ago.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, that was...
But he didn't smoke weed this time. He was just drinking, so he didn't go quite as spacey. He didn't do this stuff about how God is a comet and the stuff that he said on the previous
I have forgotten most of that stuff. I think what was interesting, they brought up William Comey, that was the director of the CIA for a number of years. And basically how, like, you know, they found him, like, you know, on the side of a riverbed, that he had some heart attack or something. But then it turns out, like, you know, he's basically, like, leaves his dinner on the table to go canoeing.
What was his name?
Well, I pulled it up on my phone or whatever, because they made a documentary about him, like, The Man Nobody Knew is what it's called.
Okay.
And it's on Hulu, so I got to check that out.
Yeah, well, James Comey is the guy who was fired by Trump that was the CIA director or FBI director or something just a few years ago.
Yeah, William Colby, that's it.
William Colby, that's right. Yeah, well, they did pull up the page about it where it showed, like, he was on a canoeing trip and he died. But this thing about the dinner on the table, it didn't say anything about that in the page that they pulled up, at least what Jamie pulled up.
Yeah, because they were just, like, saying, well, like, yeah, like, they just left his, he left his dinner on the table to go canoeing. Like, nobody does that. But then that information doesn't specifically come up. It was just like, yeah, he was on a canoe trip, and then they found his body, like, on the side of, like, I don't know. Like, he got out of the water to have a heart attack, or had a heart attack and thought he could swim to shore and died on the way there. I don't know.
Yeah, and then there's also the story of Epstein, which came up.
Yeah.
And this woman, Ghislaine Maxwell. So this guy, Tim Dillon, came in wearing this shirt, Free Ghislaine Maxwell. And so that got Alex talking about that right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
And he started talking about how her father was named Robert Maxwell. And then this guy was a spy who would blackmail people. And then one day he had outlived his usefulness. And so he was out on a boat. And somebody pushed him over the edge or something.
Yeah, he was like an MI6 operative that, like, I think he was, like, setting up, like, sex trafficking rings or something, or whatever it was. Yeah, just, like, really odd stuff. And then, like, he wound up dying because he got shoved off, like, the boat in the middle of the ocean or whatever.
Yeah, so that was part of the whole issue about Epstein. Did he kill himself or not, or was he murdered? And so he was bringing up how once these characters that are involved in this stuff, you know, they go on too long, they know too much, eventually they get killed off and someone else takes their place running these sorts of rings so that they can blackmail politicians into doing their bidding.
Yeah.
With these pictures like the Bill Clinton and the dress that they talked about.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing, they talked about Bohemian Grove for quite a while.
Oh, that was good, yeah.
Yeah, I've never even heard about this, and it's just like,
This is like OG conspiracy theories that I was watching on YouTube in 2005, 2006 when it was just starting. I don't know if you can still see this stuff, but they played a clip on there, probably is still on YouTube, of him talking to David Gergen about Bohemian Grove, and the guy gets so defensive about it, and he's like, "Sir, I disrespect you. And I disrespect you because you are a nosy man."
Yeah.
And this is like some, like, oligarch that's always on CNN that was in all these presidential administrations just telling off Alex Jones in the way that, like, a butler would scold you or something.
do you go out in the middle of the woods in California and suck other dudes' dicks? That's what I'm asking.
Yeah.
Do you suck dudes' dicks in the middle of the woods? Bohemian Grove? Does that make any connections there? I can't do the Alex Jones voice right now.
You need some more alcohol.
I need more alcohol. I need more booze.
Joe, don't
quit doing sober tober. Come on, just F it. Add a day and get high with me. Come on.
Yeah. And the thing he kept doing was he would be like, on election day, I'm coming in here and it's going to be the Alex Jones show.
Oh, man, they're talking about getting utterly blitzed on election night. And they're just like, yeah, Trump's got it won. We're going to watch the world burn again at the same time.
And Rogan, at some point, he got kind of defensive about it. He's like, you just invited yourself and decided you were just going to take off my election day
screen. But Joe Rogan's going to allow it, though. That's the funny thing.
Oh, no doubt about it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the guy's going to show up either way. I figure he'll probably be streaming on InfoWars, and at some point he'll just remember, and then he'll just take his phone with him, and he's going to like live stream in the car as he drives over there, and he's like, I'm going to Joe Rogan right now.
Oh, if you, like, I swear, if you call it, if you call it, that's what's going to happen. That, I mean, we got, that's, I think we should put this out the day before, and like, we're predictors of the future, basically, when it comes to like people doing stupid crap. For some reason, we just kind of know what to expect. So,
I mean, Alex, he basically takes his camera everywhere he goes.
And a megaphone. He does not forget his megaphone. Like, he'll go to the park and start yelling at, like, liberals to, like, why are you making people wear masks on a park? Like, why are you taking a census of people are walking on this park, you know? Like.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've seen a video of him right after that guy, Anthony Bourdain, died. I saw a video of him. He was on vacation in Hawaii. So he was talking in this one about how he needs to take more vacations and relax more because he's doing too much and he's going to kill himself. When he goes on vacation, he still streams. He was in Hawaii going on about how the Bourdain knew dirt on the Clinton and the Clintons killed him. And his evidence was like he had one clip where Bourdain was saying something negative about Hillary or something.
Oh, anybody can say anything negative about the Clintons. I mean, geez, it's... When either one or both go... I will be celebrating. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, but the guy he's like standing in front of the beach on like Oahu or something, and he's like ranting about the Clintons just murdered another one. And, like, the guy never has an off switch. I've seen him at restaurants eating with Roger Stone and Ben Garrison in Austin, and he's just like streaming it live with his wife there and everything, just ranting away. Like, the guy has no off switch. He's gonna be filming as he drives to Rogan's. I guarantee it.
He's gonna be streaming as they drive his casket to the gravesite and then bury the phone in the ground. And it's just, you're just gonna, the way Alex Jones is gonna leave this planet is they're gonna put a phone on his casket, live streaming him to put him in the ground and throwing dirt on that thing, and it's still gonna keep rolling until the phone dies. Mark my words, that could happen.
I can't wait to see, like, the compilation of, like, his greatest hits that they play at the funeral. It'll be like, they're putting fluoride in the water that turns the freaking frogs gay. And then
all the remixes, like, yeah.
Mao took the guns, Stalin took the guns, Hitler took
anime
the guns.
Anime is real! Ah!
1776 will commence again! And then they'll play the one where there's a guy who walks up to him as he's streaming in the street and gives him a middle finger, and then he goes, "You, sir, are an intellectual dumbass," and then he goes running after him all portly down the street. High speed. Oh my god, there's so many classics that they'll have to play.
Or what was it like? It was they did like Alex Jones Sega CD where it's like, "You're part of the revolution," and then it's like setting things on fire in a fire pit or something. That's another classic. Like, somebody took that and like made it into like an FMV scene from a Sega CD game, and then I think it was like Alex Jones Sega CD. It's good.
Yeah, there was a whole channel that did stuff like that. They like spliced him into Snatcher and all these weird things that they were doing.
Well, it was, I think it was reminiscent of Sewer Shark actually, which. It's funny that they picked Sewer Shark.
I've seen different ones, but yeah, they do a lot of that stuff.
If there's a Snatcher one, I gotta watch that. I mean, that's a good game.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's so much meme material just from this podcast. I remember there was a guy that was doing like little clips from the other Rogan podcast with Jones. Let me see if it's still up. I think it's called Ping Trip. And it had all these Joe Rogan remixes and stuff. Oh, there's nothing of this since 5 days ago. They did like a remix of the debate. Oh well, I'm sure it'll be there soon. But yeah, there's so much meme material. You can just take all these random like clips of Alex Jones saying weird stuff. Like at one point, he just blurts out of nowhere, "I told you 10 years ago that they've been making clones of human beings." And then Rogan's like, "Okay, enough about that." And then they just brush it aside, and it doesn't even come up again. Like that happens throughout the thing. Jones will just blurt out some random outlandish claim, and Rogan will be like, let's not go down that route.
Yeah, what was it? Like, it was the fact that, like, you know, Alex Jones was like, yeah, Bohemian Groove was created by, like, Mark Twain. And I'm like, whoa. The writer? Like, just for dudes to go out and, like, have gay sex with each other? Or it's just like, you know, and, you know, just because, you know, your dick's in my mouth doesn't mean it's gay or something like that. I don't know.
Well, let me see if that's true here. I'm pulling up Bohemian.
Yeah, that's what Alex Jones, like, claimed. It was like, it was created by Mark Twain, and there was a bunch of guys that get out in the woods and get drunk and act stupid or whatever. And then, like, the German, like, Skull and Bones clan took over in the early 1900s. They're based out of Harvard. And then now you got, like, you know, the Moloch owl. That's, like, now the new, like, idol that they go out there and you get. It's basically if you're in the rich 1% and you go out there to suck some dude off, so then somebody has dirt on you, so you have to do their bidding. Because that's just what rich people do. And then he's like, yeah, Danny Glover and Clint Eastwood was out there. And I was just like, I don't want to live in this world anymore.
Yeah, they've ruined Clint Eastwood for you.
They have, knowing that he went out. But I'm like, am I surprised? No, probably not.
They played a clip of Richard Nixon talking about how he went to the Bohemian Grove.
The most faggoty damn thing ever, yeah.
Yes, that he'd ever seen. That was a quote.
Do you want to roll that clip on here so we also have another official podcast that plays the Nixon tapes?
Okay. You know. Okay, yeah, I just found Bohemian Grove early members. Mark Twain and Jeff London. Oh, Earl Warren, who was the Supreme Court Justice, Chief Justice. Oh, yeah. There are so many influential people that were in this club. Okay, now I'm going to...
Is there anything about the Rockefellers being involved? I feel like a Rockefeller has to be involved in this.
I don't doubt that they were involved. Okay,
I know. Yeah.
Let us look at Northern California. You understand? Yeah. You know what's happening in San Francisco? Just gone. It's clear over by internet, but it isn't. It isn't just down in the ranch part of town. Now, but the upper class in San Francisco is that way. The Bohemian Grove that I attend one time at a time. The Easterners and the others that come there. But it is the most faggot goddamn thing you could ever imagine how San Francisco crowd goes in there. It's just terrible. I mean, I have always shaken hands with everybody in San Francisco.
Oh my God.
Did you hear all that? It's pretty low quality.
Well, I mean, it was the fact that it kept like, rah, 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 rah. No.
He has a very gruff speaking voice, and it's a low quality recording. But yeah,
I mean, we just throw it in show notes, so
people will know it's there. If it doesn't turn out in post, you can edit it out or whatever. But
yeah,
I mean, basically, he was talking about the upper class of San Francisco, our bohemian lifestyle, and they have this weird get together, and yeah, all these presidents have gone there, and. And there's this bizarre ceremony. He was talking about how he went there with John Ronson, which was this guy who did a documentary. He was a British guy. I think it's called Secret Rulers of the World or something like that, where he talked to all these people that were involved with looking into these globalist conferences. Like there's another one that was really big. I forget what it was called, but there's like Davos. There's other ones like that, but there's these groups that they go to, and Alex and him they went in there and infiltrated it, mm-hmm. like 1999 or something, and posed as if they were members somehow, and when they were in there they saw this ritual where they're burning this effigy of Moloch, which is a god that we've talked about on here before. The globalist worship, which is this pre-Christian god, I think is mentioned in the Bible. It's someone you're not supposed to worship.
Yeah, he's part of the gods of Canaan in the Old Testament. There's even verses about. Well, let me go ahead and pull it up actually, since I'm the biblical scholar here.
Okay, pause the recording for a second. I have to go to the bathroom.
Oh well, you can just go to the bathroom. I'll just keep researching. So
okay. Okay, I'm back.
All right, so I got a couple of verses. It's mentioned. It's mentioned in the books of Leviticus, Jeremiah, and Deuteronomy. So I'll start with Leviticus 18:21. You shall not give any of your children to offer them to Molech, and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. So then we got Jeremiah 32:35. And they built the high places of Baal in the valley of the son of Hinnom to offer up their sons and daughters to Molech, though I did not command them, nor did it enter into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. And that was the nation of Judah. In Leviticus 21-27, I'll just read the first parts of this. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, say to the people of Israel, any one of the people of Israel, of the strangers who sojourn in Israel, who gives any of the children to Molech shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone them with stones. I myself will set my face against the man and will cut him off from among the people because he has given one of his children to Molech. So, yeah, it's mentioned in the Old Testament for sure, because Molech is still, like, even to this day, I mean, Christianity is considered a abortion as the way of sacrificing kids to Molech, and I do agree with that. So it's child sacrifices have been going on for thousands of years, going back to the Old Testament. So it's interesting, but it is mentioned several times in the Bible, and I have the scriptures to back it up. So there you go.
I'm just posting in the chat some links of the YouTube videos about Bohemian Grove. We don't have to watch them right now, but you get the picture just from the thumbnails here of Nixon, the creation of Care, and David Gergen. These were all played during the thing, so people don't think we're crazy. These were real things that happened. You can see Alex Jones interview the guy about it. You can see him infiltrate the Bohemian Grove. You can see them all dressed up like KKK members in front of Moloch in their white robes. I mean, these people are sick people, and there is something weird about how the fact the media is so keen on having Trump denounce pedophile conspiracy theories. This came up at the town hall that he did with NBC, which they did in place of the second debate because they canceled the second debate after the moderator got caught with a messaging Scaramucci asking, should I respond to Trump? And so they just canceled that one because the moderator was too biased and he got fired by C-SPAN. They were like, well, do you denounce these supporters of yours in QAnon that are having all these conspiracy theories about pedophiles? And they even talk about QAnon, some of the Rogan thing.
Yeah.
And how they do get some things wrong with these weird ideas they have about how Tom Hanks is actually Michael Rockefeller, who survived crashing into a cannibal village in the 1960s and remodeled his face to become an actor. This stupid crap that they believe. But, I mean, their hearts are in the right place when they're looking for pedophiles or whatever. These are people that should be exposed to these elite pedophiles. I mean, I don't see any problem with investigating it. And yeah, there are going to be crazy people who make some wrong steps and come up with wild fake things about people and that. But I mean, at the same time, there are real people that are corrupt and they do need to be exposed.
And they're part of the 1% that control this entire freaking world. To some extent, that's the sickening part.
The reason why they suppressed the Hunter Biden laptop videos, they only got those out on the Chinese internet of Hunter Biden having sex with minors. This guy that Guo or whatever his name is that posted them on some Chinese website. You can't even have people know about this stuff on the U.S. internet. And like Twitter was banning links to this website immediately after this. And, like, they really want to suppress this stuff, and it's for a reason. It's because they're all connected to it in some way, I would assume. I mean, why else would they want to protect people who are involved in this kind of thing?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if Clint Eastwood and everyone who went to Bohemian Grove is involved in some sort of weird sex acts or whatever. I've never seen video that proves that people there are engaged in homosexuality or anything. But, I mean, I do acknowledge that there's weird stuff going on there, like this video of the owl god being cremated. Like, who does that? Like, and all these presidents that have gone there, like, what are they doing out there? Like, there's something weird going on here. I mean,
Yeah.
Normal people don't do this, right? Like they were talking about it on the show, and that Tim Dillon guy was saying something like, well, if it was just some poor people, you know, worshiping some old god in the woods, it wouldn't really matter that much. But these are the elites of our society that are doing this.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of significant that they're in public, I mean, this video is from the late 90s, early 2000s. All these guys, Bill Clinton and George W. Bush and everything, they were all saying they were against gay marriage. But in private, they're at some secret gay club in San Francisco worshiping a pagan god. Like, what exactly is this about, you know?
Yeah, and I also, like, what was it, after William Colby, that immediately, like, who succeeded him was George H. Bush as the CIA director, and I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. And then it's just kind of, and the connections are made regarding, like, Reagan being in office. You had the Iran-Contra deal, and then it kind of works out where basically, you know, George H. Bush is elected after Reagan. And then Clinton is followed after because they're all, like, linked up in some sort of, like, with the CIA in some way. And it's just all messed up.
Okay, yeah, I've just clicked on Colby on Wikipedia. It mentions that he was involved in the Phoenix program, which was something that was part of the Vietnam War. Alex Jones kept mentioning this, too.
Yeah, he did.
And MK Ultra, which was a government mind control program where they were testing LSD on citizens in order to see if they could use it to mind control the Soviets. If they, like, captured Soviets or something, they could get information out of them using it or something like that.
Yeah.
And so there were all kinds of weird things the CIA was up to back then. And then, yeah, there are these conspiracy theories about the CIA being involved in drug running during the Cold War. With Iran-Contra, and there was something called the MENA at Arkansas Airport, which is in a lot of these conspiracy theories, where there were these planes coming in and out from South America that were filled with all these drugs. And then people are saying, well, Bill Clinton knew about this when he was governor, or you know, when H.W. Bush was in the CIA or vice presidency or presidency, he was somehow involved with approving these shipments or something. I don't know if any of this stuff's ever really proven, but I've been seeing it a lot since the 90s on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
There's these kids that were out at the airport. Supposedly they saw the drug shipments come in, and then they got
murdered
by a plane or something, or they got shot, or I don't know.
I understand they got shot, or I think they're trying to frame it as they got ran over by, like, a railroad, but they were murdered, and then it's still an unsolved mystery.
That's on all the Clinton murder lists.
Yeah, the Clinton murder list, that, like, it's... Because I remember, like, looking through, like, somebody's, like, Angel Fire website they made in the 90s or something, and it was, like, nearly 100 people that are, like, close to the Clintons that just happened to mysteriously die or something. Like, what was it, when Clinton was in, like, he had a press secretary or somebody who worked in his office.
Oh, that's...
And then they wound up being a barista at, like, a Starbucks, and, you know, they only were there for a certain time, and they were working as a barista, and they had, like, some agents come in there, or assassins, that lock the door and use silenced pistols to assassinate her and her boss. Wow. No money was ever taken. And it was one of those, like, well, we don't know who did it, and they just closed the case. And it's like, man, like, really?
Yeah, I didn't know about this one, but I did hear the most famous one is the Vince Foster death, which happened early on in his presidency. And supposedly this guy was, like, I don't know, one of his advisors or something. And he just suddenly decided to kill himself. But then there was this issue of his body being moved, so that he was, like, he killed himself in his office where he wrote this suicide note. But then they found him in a public park, and they found that his drawers had been gone through, and his papers had been removed about his ties to the Clintons. That's probably the most fishy of all the Clinton-related deaths.
Wasn't there, like, one of the deaths where somebody was, like, stuffed inside of on their bag or something? And the joke is always, like, well, you know, it's a Clinton, you know, the Clintons kill them when somebody commits suicide and they shoot themselves in the head three times.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw Snopes attempting to debunk this, and Alex was always going after Snopes during this video. They were just like, well, the Clintons knew a lot of people. And when you are a political figure, you run into a lot of people. And so, you know, sometimes they die. And that was, like, the extent of their explanation. and it's kind of not that persuasive. I mean, they were like other Snopes things where, you know, just various things that Alex would bring up, and Snopes would say, oh, well, it's not true, or it lacks context, or whatever. But a lot of the times you see these fact checkers, it's like, Trump says the top 30 cities in America are all Democrat-run. That's not true. And then it'll be like 28 Democrats and like two independents who are like very left-wing or something. And so they'll have like some nitpicking like that about something that's pretty much true. And they'll have some little detail about like, well, some elections in some cities are nonpartisan. Like the governor, I mean, the mayor of Portland that we were talking about earlier, that's a nonpartisan thing. They just list a bunch of names on the ballot, but everyone knows what party they're in.
Okay, so we've got a guy in my town running for like District 5 or whatever in my city, and for city council, named Matthew Miller. And I, through my research, this guy looks like a hipster douchebag that I just want to punch in the face. Long-haired hippie looking mother effer. Anyways, he's listed as nonpartisan on the website, but like the Democratic website has written a lot of things about him over the years, like positive things. And it's like, yeah, you've got Democratic ties. And so like, I'm voting for like this ex, city cop that's like a major or whatever. He served on the police force for like 30 years or something and just recently retired. And he's like, all right, I'm going to run for this section of city council. That's like my section. Because it's interesting, like, the ward that I'm in, or the district, there's, like, four people running, and everyone else is, like, mostly unopposed. And I'm like, I'm in a hotbed area. We're like, all right, I got to get this guy out of here and let somebody else run it. The city likes to tax on everything stupid. It's the most socialist southern town I can think of. I guess they realize they don't make any money, so then it's just like, let's just tax everyone so we can get something.
This is Greenwood that you live in, right?
Yeah, Greenwood, South Carolina.
Okay, yeah, I found a picture of this guy. I'll post it in the chat. I assume this is who you're talking about.
Oh, man, I don't want to give this guy any attention. Well, I've been seeing signs about him for a while, and I just kind of like...
I'll just delete it, then.
Well, no, yeah, it's okay.
Can you see it?
I mean, like, you can post in the chat. I don't really care.
It's in the Discord chat. But
yeah,
I don't
dude,
really
I've got... One of his campaign people, like a week or so ago, walked around and solicited a bunch of, like, vote to re-elect Matthew Miller, like, to hang on the door, their door hanger things, and we don't allow solicitations. So I've got a number of these that I can basically take to the gun range and shoot him in the head with an AR-15 if I wanted to. It's target practice, let's just say. Nothing violent more than that, let's just say. But then we also used it for fire kindling when we went camping last week. So Matthew Miller's doorknobs did serve a purpose in the end. So thank you for being kindling to the fire as we were outside camping, Matthew Miller. Please do not win the election, but we'll find out next on Tuesday.
Yeah, oh, so I was just remembering another part of the episode was they're talking about this movie, The Good Shepherd. I haven't seen it of you. But
I haven't seen it either.
It has Matt Damon, Angelina Jolie, Robert De Niro.
Yeah, directed by Robert De Niro.
Yeah, from the... Looks like it came out late 2006. Oh my gosh, it's 2 hours and 47 minutes. Yeah, anyway, it's supposed
too
to be
long
about...
for
like,
me.
You know,
go ahead.
It's supposed to be about the CIA and the ties to the Skull and Bone Society. Oh. Which is like involved with the creation of the CIA. And so Alex was talking about the Skull and Bones and how they have all these rituals that they do. And then they keep like the videos of it in order to like blackmail the politicians or whatever. And so they had a mention of how George Bush's ancestor, I think it was probably Prescott Bush, the one who was funding the Nazis. He was also involved in Planned Parenthood in the early years.
Oh, boy.
And he was a senator from Connecticut, I think, or a House member or something like that from there. And he had like dug up and stole Geronimo's bones, and like now the Skull and Bones was getting sued by the Native American descendants of Geronimo because they want the bones back that they were stolen by the Bush family.
And they're like, oh shoot, I don't know what we did with it. And they have to sit there and like, you know, the Geronimo skull is basically the cell phone holder. And it's like, all right, well, if I find the thing, I'll let you know. And then it's a click, and they just put it back on the skull head. It ain't firing that son of a bitch.
Yeah. I'm sure it'll be something like that.
Mm. Oh, man.
But it is weird because, I mean, do you remember this meme, Don't Taste Me, Bro, from the internet of like the mid-2000s?
Yeah, I remember that.
That was that happened to somebody who went to the Skull and Bones. He went to a John Kerry event and was asking him about Skull and Bones, saying like, "Well, maybe I can find his question." But he was basically asking like, "Why are you guys all from Skull and Bones?" Because like, Kerry went to Skull and Bones, Bush went to Skull and Bones. Most of the people on the Supreme Court were at Yale also, and they went to Skull and Bones. And so it's like such a big fraternity that like all these elites have to go to is like a rite of passage.
Yeah.
And just now with Barrett, it's like the first time there's been someone on the Supreme Court in decades that was not from Harvard or Yale.
Which means like, that she's going to do her job all right.
Yeah, I mean, she's not part of the club, which is why they were so against her.
What was that? I remember Family Guy made a skit about like, you know, like the qualifications for being a Supreme Court judge, and it's basically like holding a cherry between your butt cheeks and walking it to like a through an obstacle course and then dropping into a thing of beer and drinking it, and they're like, oh my gosh, he did it, this guy's so in the Supreme Court. Like, it was like they were not, like Seth MacFarlane made fun of, like, an initiation thing. But it's something you would do out of a college thing. So that was, like, his joke on, like, how it's a joke to basically be a nominee for Supreme Court or something. It was one of the earlier seasons of Family Guy that they did that. I've always remembered it.
Okay, I was thinking at first that it was something that they did to parody Brett Kavanaugh, because there were all these jokes about how he was drinking beer when he was in college.
Well, I mean, this wasn't recent. This was like in the late 90s, yeah, early 2000s. Yeah. Yeah, early Family Guy, like when it was, the jokes were still good.
Right, right. I mean, there were these chaotic Supreme Court hearings even in the 90s, like the Clarence Thomas ones, where there were all these women that were accusing him of leaving like a pornography VHS tape on their desk or whatever it was that they had said he did. Or the famous one was that he left a pubic hair on her Coke can as a sexual invitation to her. This Anita Hill woman that was going after him. And I know Biden had to like apologize because he didn't take her seriously enough at the Senate hearings or something. Because he was in there so long that he was a rampant.
Oh,
I think that she said that he called himself Long Don Johnson or something like Long Johnson. I don't remember.
Wait, they called Biden this?
No.
Oh, Clarence, the other guy. Thomas, oh, okay.
The Supreme Court justice that's Warren Barrett, the black guy that Bush put up on there in the 90s.
Okay.
Yeah, there was this big sex scandal involving him, but he survived it and got on the court anyway. Yeah, anyway, so I'm looking up this this thing where the Supreme Court guy, not the Supreme Court guy, the Taser guy.
Okay. I'm going to make a podcast ready for this.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, now I hear you.
Okay, good. Yeah, it was on like a red bar, like low quality or something, but now it's three bars green, so I think it'll be better now.
Okay. Yeah, you're starting to talk about something, and then it just like died off instantly.
Okay. Yeah, I was just going back to how it seems like so excessive that they used a taser on this guy, and just for asking about Bush and Kerry both being in Skull and Bones, when that seems like it's sort of a normal question to ask somebody. But they went to this measure to prevent this guy from speaking about this subject. So. And then they just kind of made it into a joke, which is what they always do. Like, if anybody asks any questions that really get at the heart of what the ruling class doesn't want you to talk about, they just kind of mock you. And so that just became like a meme of, don't taste me, bro. And so people
yeah.
make like meme videos about it on YouTube. So.
Okay.
So what were some of the other highlights from this thing? I mean, it's so long that you could go on about it for forever. It's like over 3 hours.
I
think at one point they talk about UFOs, and like I went back and listened to this other episode.
The last hour and a half is when it was like Snoozeville. It was like, okay, this is way too relaxed. It's not crazy. The only thing I remember them talking about was like, Joe Rogan was like, man, Event Horizon was such a good effing film. And I was like, yes, that movie is amazing. And interesting enough about Event Horizon, Peter Melliker, who did a lot of voices for animation, anime series and for manga entertainment, was the ship's captain that was sitting there holding his eyeballs and like speaking in Spanish demonically or something. I think that might have been one of his last live-action roles before he passed away. And he was also like judge, like for in Judge Dredd too. But yeah, Peter Melliker was he played Goto in the Pet Labor films that Manga Entertainment released, and I think he's one of the best. Like that's just like he's like the perfect voice for Goto, I believe. And he's also in like the Starfleet / X Bomber dub. Because that was released in England. So that was just a little bit of information right there. I want to go back and rewatch Event Horizon at some point.
Yeah, they were talking about oil, and they brought up the issue of Deepwater Horizon, which was that oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah, they talked about Event Horizon. Like, there's no oil in space.
Yeah, Alex got the names of the movies mixed up or something. And
yeah.
And I started talking about Event Horizon.
Man, Event Horizon is such a good fucking movie, man.
That's made by the same guy who made the Resident Evil movies.
Wait, Paul Anderson made... Hold on.
Yeah. You didn't know that?
No. You're kidding me.
Before the Resident Evil ones in the 90s.
Oh, shut up. How did Paul Anderson go from making a really good movie like Event Horizon to really crappy Resident Evil films, which, by the way, this is a great transition to, I can talk about them watching all six of those Resident Evil movies for the month of October. I can give my thoughts on like all of them because they're all basically the same except for the first film.
Yeah, there are six of these films, is that right? I only watched the first two.
Yeah, I didn't realize that Event Horizon was a box office bomb. The budget was $60 million, they only made $26 million. That's criminal. That sucks. Event Horizon's a great movie. What did it compete with that weekend in August of... Oh...
Probably Titanic or something.
Yep. If I have to guess, Titanic. God, alright, came out in August... August 15th, 97. Gee, Titanic, 1997 film. I wonder what the date is on that. Actually, Titanic came out in December, the end of 1997. December 19th, it came out like before Christmas. So that would have nothing to do with...
Okay.
Huh. I think maybe... Well, no, James Bond came out about that same weekend. Probably. Hold on. Tomorrow Never Dies. Never Dies. I'm like the Jamie on this show now. I have to do everything. No. Tomorrow Never Dies came out the same day as Titanic.
Okay.
And it made $33 million in the box office. So people, the money that would have been, that's $33 million that Titanic did not get in the box office that went to freaking Tomorrow Never Dies. A funny story, I knew a guy who was in like, he lived in my apartment community, and he said him and a bunch of girls from like, you know, his middle school or whatever, like went to go to the movies. So like all the girls went to go see Titanic, and they gave it about like 20 or 30 minutes, and they're just like, man, F this movie. So then they basically went out next door and snuck in to watch Tomorrow Never Dies. They're like, man, that movie was awesome.
Yeah, they didn't know Titanic was going to be such a hit.
A chick film. They're like, dude, this movie sucks. Like, let's ditch the chicks and go watch James Bond. Yeah. I'm like, and when you're 14, that is exactly how your mind should work.
Yes.
Ditch your girlfriends and go see a James Bond movie. It makes total sense.
I've never seen Titanic. I see it's like 3 hours long and it's supposed to be romantic or whatever. And
well,
just like,
I saw it. I've only seen it one time, like a few years later. I finally sat down and watched it. And I mean, it looked like a good movie, but I just didn't care. And I'm sure if I watch it now in my 30s, I'm like, yeah, it's probably okay. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I do want to watch it at some point, just because it's like an important historical event, the Titanic sinking.
Yeah.
And I know James Cameron, he puts a lot of effort into the special effects in his movies. And like when they reissued it on Blu-ray a few years ago, they like consulted with astronomers to make sure the stars were all in the right place and everything. Like they, I mean, the guy puts a lot of depth into what he's doing and making sure that he's making a good movie and everything. So I'm sure it's fine, but it's just never been very high on my priority list. And at some point I'll get to it. Lately I've been watching like 80s action movies. Like I watched Commando yesterday, and this morning I watched Cobra. You seen those with Schwarzenegger and Stallone?
Yeah, Cobra's a hard film. Not really hard, but it's a good film. But it's just not... all in all, when I think of Cobra, it's a good film, but it's just like, it's all right. Like, I get more enjoyment out of Commando.
Okay.
All right,
Commando and Cobra, they're both pretty action-packed. I mean, and then in Commando, they have this great, like, 80s soundtrack playing. Like, throughout the whole movie, they have this one kind of beat that keeps playing as he's, like, driving around.
Yeah, like the steel drums or whatever.
Yes, it's like, you know, you're watching an 80s movie because, like, Arnold at peak condition, that hair on that woman.
Yeah.
Especially in Cobra, I guess. The woman has fuck real 80s hair. And,
remember, John, when I promised to kill you last? Well, the line.
Run out the steam. All these puns.
Well, the joke is, it's like he's holding Bennett over the cliff. He's like, remember, Bennett, I promised to kill you last. That's right, you did. I lied.
Yeah,
I was hoping you were like remember that line. You could have added on. Like, yeah, that's right, Sionic. Said. You did. I lied. All right. So, movies that came out August 15th, 1997 was Copland, the Sylvester Stallone movie, which is like corrupt cops. I've never seen that movie. You know what? You know where all the money went instead of Event Horizon? To Steel. No, Steel came out.
Oh.
The Shaquille O'Neal superhero movie. Okay. That's where all the money went, was to Steal.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I've never seen that.
I think I've seen part of it on TV, like, years ago.
That's one of those movies that they all forgot about when they were saying Black Panther's the first superhero movie with black people.
Yeah, I was like, oh, excuse me, what about Meteor Man? Excuse me, what about Steel? Yeah. We had Steel. That no one wants to talk about. Oh, Shaquille. The fact that Shaquille O'Neal, even with all these bad movies, he basically is the franchisee for Papa John's and is also a cop. That man has done very well for himself.
I saw people were going after him the other day because he made some comment about the Breonna Taylor shooting where he was like, well, the cops did fire at them, but they were fired at first. And so it's... Maybe it's not a case of the jury doing anything wrong when they decide to not press murder charges because they were acting in self-defense. And then people on Twitter were all angry at him because they just, you know, want to get angry.
They don't know police procedures.
No.
Well, the week before Event Horizon came out, Free Willy 3 The Rescue was out in theaters. I don't think I've seen that one. I don't remember. But then, like, the beginning of August was when Air Bud came out.
Okay.
Oh, this is interesting. Orgasmo came out in theaters September 6, 1997. I definitely don't remember promos for that film on TV.
No.
Oh, man. That's a great movie.
The majority would have approved of that name.
Yeah. LA Confidential came out a month later. A lot of good movies that came out. Alright. Shoot. I guess I gotta talk about the freaking Resident Evil movies, don't I? Damn it. Alright.
Did you see them all in theaters, or...?
I never saw a single one, not a one in theaters.
Oh, okay.
So I've seen them either on TV... I remember watching the first one. on TV, like, when I was in high school, and I thought it was really good. And, oh, shoot. Paul Anderson, he did direct the Mortal Kombat movie. He did. I'm going to say the first Mortal Kombat movie is actually pretty, like, entertaining and good.
Oh, yeah. I also saw the Street Fighter movie yesterday. That was
another one. I mean, the Street Fighter movie is a dumb movie. It's not a good movie, but it's a fun movie.
Yeah, that about sums it out.
So you also worked on Soldier, too.
And that's kind of true about Mortal Kombat movies as well. I mean, they're pretty ridiculous, but they're pretty fun, too.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as video game movies go, at least they're kind of wild and bizarre, and there's a lot of action in them. I know there's other ones that are considered much worse, like U-Ball stuff. I've never seen any of that, but
yeah. I think I've seen the the Far Cry Yui Bowl movie. Don't ask me what happens in that film. I don't remember anything. Okay. All right, so I'm looking at...
I assume it was terrible.
No, Far Cry was not good. So I think anything Paul Anderson directs is pretty good. hold on.
You're going to get hate from the critics because they all get real low Rotten Tomatoes scores.
Okay. Let me just say this. So the movies he's directed, like Mortal Kombat, Event Horizon, Soldier, Resident Evil, and Alien vs. Predator, those are the ones he directed, his first, like, six films. And I could say that Soldier, from what I've seen of Soldier, is really good. Event Horizon is a great movie. Alien vs. Predator, I didn't really have any issues with that movie. He did not direct the sequel of Resident Evil Apocalypse or Extinction. Oh, he was a producer for the Dead or Alive movie that came out in 2006. That I've only seen bits and pieces of it because of Hot Chicks, but I've never sat and watched that entire darn film. May never. I don't know. Okay, he did the Death Race remake. He directed that. Now, he directed Resident Evil Afterlife, and... Oh, that was not a good film at all. I don't know what happened to him. He directed Resident Evil Retribution. That was also not a very good film. And he basically directed the last three. He did the first and then the last three Resident Evil films.
Yeah, he didn't do two and three, but he did all the others.
Yeah.
So you only really like the first one?
The first one is the better one, I'm going to say.
I didn't think the second one was so bad. I mean, I liked that it was in a little bit, like, more locations than the first one.
Yeah,
the first one's all in this one facility, and the second one, there's, like, a haunted house, they're outside at night, and other locations.
Okay, so the first movie is reminiscent of, like, The Hive, which just kind of feels like sort of, I guess, Event Horizon, where it's, like, closed spaces, it looks, like, dark and dingy or whatever. It's not so much in the, not so much in the mansion, even though it kind of starts out there. And it's kind of a sort of an interesting retelling of, like, say, like Alice in Wonderland or whatever. But then you've got, like, the second movie it's more, in ties with, like, the second and third games regarding Raccoon City. And that one, it was actually just, like, a fun, dumb action film. And, like, I enjoyed it because you had, like, they had to put in the comedic black dude that ran over zombies and was like, GTA, motherfucker! You know, like, that part was awesome.
I read on Wikipedia that was originally intended to be LL Cool J playing this role. But, yeah, they basically just wanted to have, like, a rapper or something like that.
A funny black guy.
Going around making wisecracks. They're fighting zombies and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the greatest movie ever or whatever, but I guess as far as, like, action movies go, it's, like, passable, like, B-movie.
Yeah, no, like, it's... I didn't mind the second film so much. The third film...
I haven't seen the third one, but I saw this clip that I think Josh posted or something. There's some guy watching the ending of that third film where there's, like, some Matrix time stuff going on.
Okay, no, that's Afterlife. That's when it gets stupid. Afterlife is the fourth one? Yeah, that's the fourth one. So okay.
And this guy had this really annoying laugh. He was like cackling for like 5 minutes straight. And it's like, oh, shut up.
Yeah, that was probably the Albert Wesker scene. Yeah, that action scene was so damn stupid. And then, yeah, that's the half in the bag or the Red Letter Media guys laughing at how ridiculous that action scene is, and Alice kicking a piece of glass to cut it, the Cerberus dogs in half or whatever, and that one takes elements from like the fifth game.
Wait, so how close to the game does it get? I mean, is it like pretty loose adaptation?
They're all loose adaptations. I think the only one that stays with it is probably the second one, sort of, because it's Raccoon City. The first one is its own thing, which is fine. Yeah, Afterlife is just, they have the giant axe executioner dudes that show up in like the fourth and fifth film. Gosh. So, oh my gosh! Yeah, the third film.
Like they bring in this male protagonist in some of the later movies, because in the early ones it's just the Mila Jovovich or whatever her name is. It's like the main character in them.
Yeah.
I think it's called Leon or something like that. I think it's probably.
Okay. Well, the third one is Extinction, where she's out in the desert or something, and humanity's basically all zombies by now, and there's also this underground hive in the middle of the desert or whatever the heck. And then, like, the fourth movie is her trying to invade Tokyo, the hive section of Tokyo or whatever. And then I guess that whole thing where basically she like lands in a prison and gets rescues Chris Redfield, because she finds Claire Redfield, and Claire was in the third movie, because they go to this place in Alaska that's supposed to have like, you know, be a free sanctum or whatever, and turned out it was a trap for Umbrella to get people that made it there as more test subjects. Anyway, so then like they escape that, get on a barge where Albert Wesker's on there, and so stupid. Anyway, so and then the fifth movie is this another underground bunker that basically you get introduced to Leon Kennedy and Barry, who's a character from the first game. They're in there to rescue Alice, I believe. Yes, and then Alice is getting out. Oh my gosh, I don't even. But the interesting thing is they brought back the freaking girl Rodriguez or whatever from the first film that died, and they made a clone of her into the fifth film as part of like a cop section, or I don't know. That's after Alice or Mila Jovovich. And in the sixth film, final chapter, is her stopping the T-virus and going, I don't know, it's just like, and going back to Raccoon City to get the T-virus thing, and her finding her way there, and I don't know. oh my gosh, I totally forgot that the Monster Hunter movie came out, or was about to come out. I forgot this. It's another Paul Anderson movie that also stars Mila Jovovich. And it's loosely based.
He's married to her, isn't he?
Is she, hold on, let me figure this out. He is. That's no wonder she keeps being in every single one of his crappy movies. Yeah. So this is based off the Monster Hunter games, and I don't know if I want to watch this. This, I wonder if this is going to be like. Oh gosh, I wonder if this is going to be like, do I need to wait till it comes out on video to see it, or do I just like, because I don't know what's going to be released on December 30th. They're probably going to push this movie back anyways, like every other film, James Bond got pushed back till next year. And so it's like, what's the point? I mean...
I think that they have, like, Wonder Woman scheduled for December 30th as well. But I don't know. These things are probably going to get delayed again. I don't think that the Tenet and New Mutants did very well, and so they're probably just going to go back to not doing any new movies for a long time.
Yeah. I mean... Probably, I don't know. I mean, if Wonder Woman's coming out on the 30th, obviously more people are going to go see that than Monster Hunter.
Right. Yeah, that would be a bigger draw. But
yeah.
But I think that these movies are probably not going to happen, but who knows? I mean, it's a long time away. We don't know what's going to happen with the virus. I think some of these chains are going to go out of business for good, though, because they've been closed for so long. Like, I think Regal Cinemas, you know, a lot of them, AMC, are in financial trouble.
I mean, I think Regal is, I mean, I saw them when I was in North Carolina, so I imagine they're probably still going to be around for a while. I don't know.
Well, when was this?
I was in Asheville last week, and there was a Regal that looked open, so...
Oh, I thought they closed them all down.
No, I don't know. Like, I know that Premier Cinema, which is, I got one of those near me, is they're still in business. And I think mine might still be open. Let me check.
Cinema. Yeah, there's one from earlier this month that says Regal will close all 536 U.S. theaters on Thursday, and this is from October 5th. So.
Okay. So maybe the one I saw, like, was probably closed by then.
Yeah, they closed it down because of the James Bond movie got delayed. They were like all relying on that.
Yeah. So
I mean, a lot of these theaters are doing like just old movies if they're open at all.
Oh, what was it? There was a I can't remember if it was a 20 or 30 year anniversary of a movie that came out. Oh, what was it? They're doing the 40th anniversary of Star Wars Empire Strikes Back in theaters for like one night. That was a few weeks ago, and I was like, I mean, I would like to go, but I was just like, I'm going to go by myself, and I'd rather not. It's like, I'll just catch it in 10 more years.
Yeah, I didn't see it, but I know that movie has been one of the top grossing films as the... all the new films are shut down, so people go back to their favorites, and they've been in theaters with that, and like, you know, Back to the Future and that kind of stuff being reissued.
So the only things that are playing at my theater is Come Play, Honest Thief, and War with Grandpa. That's the only film that they've got.
I've never even heard of this stuff.
Yeah, I'm like, let's see. Oh, Freaky is the new Vince Vaughn movie. That's like basically it's a body swapping thing where like a girl swaps with Vince Vaughn, who's a killer or something, and so the girl's trapped inside Vince Vaughn's body. That's never been done before. Yeah, I don't even know what's like now playing. They've got like Tyler Perry's Boo. another Tyler Perry movie. After We Collided, I have no idea what that is. The Empty Man. Like, they know there's no commercials on TV to go see movies, and then I don't really know.
Right.
Like, The War with Grandpa is like a kid's movie.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, they got Hocus Pocus as a special $5 feature. But that was earlier this month. Tenet, I think, is, well, yeah, I haven't even seen Tenet yet. I'm probably just going to rent it.
I've heard that, like, people who saw it in theaters, they couldn't even understand the dialogue because the music was too loud or the sound effects or something.
Well, what did T.Y. said he saw it? Like, I didn't really, what did he have to say about it?
Oh, he loved it, but he's, like, a super fan of Nolan.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, he like drives like across the state to see all of his movies in IMAX and stuff. But yeah, he was willing to go there to see it. I was not, but yeah, at some point I will see it. But I haven't seen a Nolan movie in theater since The Dark Knight Rises, which I didn't mind risking going to see after somebody had shot up one theater in Aurora, because the probability that's going to happen again in my particular showing is not very high, but well, my parents were just in the theater. But yeah, and then that movie, because there was a shooting at it, there was all this paranoia about, is there going to be a shooting at the Joker movie? And,
oh, that one.
Yeah, every time that there was like some sort of Batman-related movie, now they're paranoia about that. But, I know T.Y., he was trying to get me to see Interstellar in IMAX, and I didn't see that until years later on TV. That's another normal
I movie. Saw it in theaters, but I didn't see it in 4K, and I'm sure it would look great, but...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a nice-looking movie. I can't tell you what happens in that film other than space travel.
Yeah, there's, like, a guy, and he's, like, making videos for his daughter while he's on the spaceship, and they have to, like, go to some other... planet or something. Mm-hmm. I can't describe much what happened in it either. I think he comes back and like the time has passed differently because of like he was going faster than light or whatever. All this stuff about the theory of relativity. Like his daughter is old and he's not or something like that because
remember he's like in some sort of time loop thing and he can like show up whenever in a period of time to see his daughter and I remember bits of that movie. I remember like the weird robot that walked. It was like a brick but then it can like somehow walk.
Yeah, I mean it was an interesting movie, but I don't know, his movies are kind of weird. And from what I've read about Tenet, it's like he doubles down on this time stuff that he's always messing around with.
Yeah,
and it's supposed to be like somebody can go backwards in time and all this stuff about. You know, people are appearing in the movie that have been in later parts of the movie before they're in earlier parts of the movie because they're moving backwards in time and it's supposed to be really like difficult to follow and like a confusing plot, which I guess is the case with a lot of his movies really. Like even Inception is kind of confusing with all the stuff about the dreams and like people don't know if the whole movie was a dream or not.
Right.
And then there's that movie with the magicians that he did. It had some sort of twist in it at the end too as well, but I don't even remember what it's called. Is it The Prestige or the...
I think Prestige sounds about right. I haven't even seen it.
It had like Hugh Jackman and Christian Bale.
Yeah, I think that's the Prestige.
Yeah. One of them turned out to be the other one or something weird. I mean... Even when he does like a twist, it's hard to understand what it even means.
Yeah.
So I guess do we have anything more to say about Resident Evil? Or
no, what? I've got nothing to say about that film. Those films. I mean, I've watched them all. Like,
all the games, or
no, I haven't played all the games. Like, I haven't even touched 7. I've seen a little bit of like Let's Play people play it. 8's about to come out, which was titled The Village. That's being promoted on like the PS5, and it's also come out on the PS4, so it doesn't really matter. What was it? I played a little bit of 6 when I got it off Steam a few years ago, and 6 is supposed to be like a really bad version of that game. I didn't get too far in 6. I think I played one of the Ada Wong missions on like a submarine, and it just got really annoying. I mean, I remember getting the collector's edition for 5, and I still have it. I love 4. I played very little of 3, and I beat 2 on the Dreamcast like 13 years ago. And the first game, I've played bits and pieces of it, but I've never finished it. And then I played a little bit of Code Veronica. That's kind of my only... like in terms of Resident Evil games that I play, the main ones, like, those are kind of the ones that I've, like, touched or, like, at least I know about and have played. But the ones I've beaten was, like, 2, 4, 5, and that's it.
Yeah, so from what I can tell, like, the first movie is kind of loosely based on the first couple of games, and then the...
Really just the first one. Is,
okay, yeah, the first one, and the second like 2 and 3.
Yeah, 2 and 3. Yeah, because the second movie involves Nemesis, which is like the big bulky monster that's in the third game, which is like a, you know, an umbrella bioweapon, which, granted, okay, maybe they're not the... These films are not the best made, but in terms of costume design and characters and how people should look from the games and accuracy, they're darn good, solid representations. Like, granted, yeah, Resident Evil Apocalypse is not a good film, but when they brought out Nemesis, he looked really good. It's not a bad... Nemesis looks really, really good. As, like, how they designed him and everything, it's accurate to the games. And, I was watching, I was like, you know, like, this action scene is so stupid, but Nemesis looks really good. I think in terms of set designs, they do a really good job in, like, creating the worlds and whatever. There's nothing wrong with, like, how they make a film look. It's just a matter of, like, what boils down to, like, the over-cheesiness of some action scenes and stuff, and that's about it.
Yeah. I mean, there is a difficulty with video game movies where basically video games, for the most part, are not meant to have some super deep plot that you get really emotionally involved in. They're a lot about, like, quick time events and, like, you know, pressing buttons really fast and, you know, defeating a lot of bad guys. And so that doesn't necessarily translate very well into movies a lot of the time. And so, you know, you do sometimes have a movie like the Sonic movie where they try to add a little more heart to it or whatever by making it all about, like, Sonic's feelings of being alone.
Mm-hmm.
And, but most of the time they just go for, they just, like, copy over the characters, and then they have, you know, some fight scenes, essentially. And that's kind of how Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat were, too. But in those cases, I thought it worked pretty well, just because it's... I mean, the campiness of the fact that it's like a 90s video game movie makes it kind of just fun, just to see the way they did things back then. And, you know, they are kind of like nonstop action and everything, and it is fun, but it doesn't really necessarily work as a story or whatever, but... Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's the kind of thing you even expect from a video game movie. I mean, there are ones where they try to add, like, a story around a very bare bones concept, like the Mario movie. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, I don't know, does this story really work with the world of Mario? It's kind of too weird trying to connect the real world to this abstract game about jumping on Goombas and stuff. I mean, for the most part, it's very difficult to even make a good video game movie, so I can kind of cut them some slack. It's like, well, this is what you're doing, so at least you're not Ball, who I hear is really terrible at making
things. Yeah. The thing is, it's like, I think the only video game movie that would be really good as an adaptation is, like, Metal Gear Solid, because Metal Gear Solid games are already basically, like, mini movies within, within a game. Like, you get all these cinematics and stuff, and I think, like, they can do a if they did a Metal Gear Solid movie, that would be like amazing. I think it would actually be done really well, because it's already like half a film, half a video game where you're interacting with it. And, like, Hideo Kojima just needs to just sit there and direct a Metal Gear Solid movie and just get it done.
Maybe it'll happen sometime, but it seems like the owners of that franchise don't care to do anything with it anymore.
Yeah. Well, that's a Konami thing, and...
Yeah. I've always heard, oh, they're just doing pachinko machines now. They don't care about this series
anymore. Yeah.
But, you know, maybe we'll see more video game movies in the future if the movie industry ever comes back to life. I think Nintendo had some agreement with the people who make the Minions movies, where they were going to make like CGI versions of Mario and stuff. So eventually, we'll see some cutesy like computer animated Nintendo movies in theaters. I bet.
Yeah.
They'll have like the Goombas be like the Minions or something like that, and they'll all be like spying out gibberish or something, and people will have them like in their lawns. In real life, after it comes out, you know, like all these Halloween decorations of Minions that they sell and stuff.
Hmm.
I mean, there's long been rumors that they're going to do like a live action Zelda too, but that's never actually happened. It probably will never happen. Like, there were these rumors, oh, they're going to do a Zelda on Netflix by the Game of Thrones people. That was fake news. It was all kinds of stuff like that they've been saying for years on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would have assumed the Sonic movie was fake news until they actually put out that weird trailer with the early character design, where he looked more like a hedgehog.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I guess it's actually happening. They've filmed it. And then, like, that movie is, like, cursed, and it, like, shut down the entire film industry. Yeah. But it could get number one slot for the 2020s.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it's like Sonic the, like, Corona didn't come from China, it came from Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, he came from another dimension with this virus and
yeah,
infected everyone here. Patient number zero was Jamie Kennedy.
Yeah, because I saw that recently, finally, and I was actually, I had no issues with the Sonic the Hedgehog movie.
Yeah, it's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
For kids, maybe. It does what it needs to do. It's nothing wonderful or anything, but, you know, like, Jim Carrey is good as Robotnik, and special effects are alright, and it's got, like, an actual story arc in it and everything, so. Then did you see the post-credits scene where Tails shows up? That's like teaser number two.
Yeah, obviously it's a teaser for the second movie. I don't know. I can't really think of anything else that I want to discuss. So.
Okay, so we're gonna have this out like the day before the election.
Probably a good idea. Yeah.
Okay, or we could maybe just tie it in with the Halloween episode, but you've already got that all edited.
That's all slated to go in the morning, yeah. We're good to go with our Batman episode.
Okay, yeah, we'll put this out later then. And, well, what are your predictions on the election? Who do you think's going to win?
I don't want to say, man. You were right the last time of who you picked.
Right.
So, you haven't said anything.
Well, I mean, I think it's probably going to be a re-election of the president. And the polls that were the most accurate last time were, you know, saying different things than what the mainstream polls said, and then they turned out to be right. Those people are once again predicting that there's going to be at least an electoral college victory for Trump. So I would think probably he will get in there again. You know, these Trafalgar Group, that was like the closest on their guesses, the Democracy Institute, and these people have been saying that he has like a small lead in these swing states. And from what I've been seeing of these early returns of ballots and stuff in these important states like Michigan and Wisconsin and these other states, Florida, it looks to me like he's got the lead in these states based on like what party people have voted in the past. We know like more Republicans are turning in ballots in Michigan and Wisconsin than Democrats are. So I think that probably he will end up winning these states, even though there have been these ridiculous polls out these weeks from these mainstream pollsters showing that he's 17 down in Wisconsin, 19 down in Michigan, and it's just like, I do not believe this. He didn't lose 20% of his support in the last 4 years in these states.
Yeah,
you can see the rallies, they're packed.
My thing is just like, yeah, I don't, it's falsified stats. And it seems like it's way worse than what it was when it was Hillary and him running.
Yeah. And if you look at the sampling, they pick like 15% more Democrats than Republicans in these samples. And so when you do that, yeah, you're going to have a result where the Democrat does 15%.
You're going to have a biased view of these stats to try to like twist the election or rig it. And if he wins, you know, Trump wins, they're going to be like, well, he's still in cahoots with Russia. And it's like, you can't prove that because I haven't done anything but have a fair election.
Yeah, that's the real danger of the of these polls, is that they cause like a false expectation of what's going to happen.
Yeah,
and people think that there's going to be like a landslide for one candidate, and we saw these poll these margins they were predicting last time, where they were like, we're predicting a 99% chance of Hillary winning in Huffington Post and New York Times and all these places on their models with the averages of the polls and all this stuff. And then it turned out to not happen, and so they had to come up with some excuse. And they came up with, "Oh, Russia hacked the election," and then that took away his whole like for several years. And they never would have come up with all this if they had just been accurate to begin with the polls, because then they wouldn't have had to come up with this excuse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then they wouldn't have had to say, "Well, they hacked our democracy." They would have just been like, "Oh, well, his issues were more popular. He had a more likable personality to more voters," or, you know, and they'll come up with something again this time. You know, maybe it'll be China this time, or who knows what the reason will be. But they'll come up with some reason why they weren't wrong. And, I mean, I can't even believe these pollsters are still in business after they got 2016 so wrong. Like, how do you get your prediction completely wrong by so many points, and then people are still believing you and trusting you 4 years later, and you're still in business? Like, can you think of any industry other than elections where someone could screw up that badly and they still come back? They're treated as an expert. It's ridiculous.
Only CNN.
Yeah.
Alright,
well that's my prediction, and so people can see if I'm wrong or not by the time this comes out, if it's even decided, or if it's not something that goes to the Supreme Court in a month or whatever.
Yeah, is it going to be locked in for 79 days of hell, as Alex Jones explained?
So, yeah, I mean, we'll do have this issue where they just decided in the Supreme Court the other day that they don't have to count for 9 days after it's done in North Carolina. So it's like, how are we getting other results? Like, how long is this going to take? I don't know. You know, at one point he started saying that in this really weird voice, Alex Jones. He started speaking like real softly, and he's like, 99 days of hell. And he's like creeping out Rogan.
That was great. Oh, man. Yeah, we need to call it.
Okay.
Yeah, we're over 2 hours on this. I didn't think it was going to go this long. I was so fired up at the beginning, and then now it's just like the booze has been kicking in, and I'm just like, all right, I'm ready to call it a night.
That's what happened with the Rogan podcast too.
Yeah, see, they Alex got too mellow on the booze, and he starts talking about how he wants to retire and quit, and Rogan was like basically getting a nicotine high, and they're just like, yeah, man. Them aliens, DMT and shit. What? What are we talking about?
I went back and listened to this aliens episode that Rogan was mentioning, and it's like some guy who claims to have been in Area 51, and he's like, I saw these spacecrafts that had these anti-gravity waves, and I couldn't touch it, and it was pushing me away, and there was this little man in there with long arms. I don't know if any of this is true or not. It was at least an interesting character, I guess. Yeah. But there's so many people who come up with these stories about aliens. I don't know if they believe it all that. Okay, I guess we'll call it a night, and people can look into this episode. If they have not seen this Alex Jones thing, you should definitely go watch it. It's pretty.
It'll be on show notes. Believe me, it's totally worth it. Hopefully, it stays on YouTube for a while. So we'll see.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and end it. Good luck, everyone, in 2020 post-election. Arm yourself so your house doesn't burn down. All right.
Hopefully there's not rioting going on while this comes out.
Dude, this is... Oh, my gosh. Imagine somebody at the riot just, like, listening to our podcast. Like,
Like, now we know.
What are you doing with your life? Get out of the street. Go home. That's what I say to them if they're listening. And like, I don't know what we're waiting for the next like stop on our protest thing in downtown Seattle or, you know, Phoenix or Detroit or whatever, or New York City. And like, oh, here's an anime podcast. You're talking about the election. And it's like, and I'm like, go home. I'm knife handing at them. Like, get your ass home. Don't stay on the street. You're not going to change a darn thing. You're going to get arrested. Just go home. Give up. Go on with your life. Get a job. It's okay.
They were like, we thought we were going to hear about Resident Evil, and now our whole life is...
I did Resident Evil 45 minutes ago, and I couldn't even explain it because they're all bad movies. And the first one is probably is really the best one, so... And that's all you need to see. And the sequels are just like, alright, let's get this over with. So, anyways, I'm going to go ahead and end it.
Okay, later.
Guys, stay safe. We'll see you next time. Later.